It's one of those facts that I've been praying God help, send me some help with those messages, because it becomes very overwhelming. Not because I don't want to answer, but here's one guy who's, you know, written me a 10-page letter, and he's got questions in there, and I got 50 other ones that have the same thing or different questions, and it can become overwhelming. And then it's not like I have a family or anything. I got to do office work or anything else. And so I've been really praying that God would send some people to help with that aspect of it. The Cassiolas helped mail out Bibles, which is an absolute blessing, because when you're out on the road, then I come home and it's just piles of Bibles that have to be sent out. And so having like the Cassiolas step up there and be able to do that for us has been a heavy burden lifted off of us. And so just, you know, Kitty, she's writing the ladies for us. Amen. And I tell you, what an impact it's making on them. Amen. You don't know them. What's that?
That's his first word
about
things.
Amen. Hallelujah. But what an impact it makes on them ladies, because look, they know what they've done is wrong. But it don't mean they don't need Jesus.
That's right.
We're not in there advocating for what they've done as criminals.
Right.
I'm not in there saying you need to come home, you've been wrongly convicted, blah, 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 all the whining stuff that they all say.
Right.
Sit where you're at, get Jesus Christ, and you won't have to come back.
That's right.
Amen.
That's a reality of it.
Amen.
And so having Miss Kitty write them ladies, and it makes an impact on their lives, and now we just hope that they can get to Jesus Christ. That's where the hope is, people. The hope is in Jesus Christ. There's not hope in anything else for any of this. Trust me, I did it for all those years. Let me just tell you this. There was not hope in any single thing that this community or this world ever had to offer me. They continued to set me free. Your King James Bible doesn't talk about being set free. Talks about being made free, given something that you've never had before. That's why Jesus Christ was what? Made sin for us. He became something he never was.
Yep.
Same thing with salvation. When you get Jesus, you become something you've never been before. If you're still the same person, then you need to be made free, because all you've been is set free by your religion.
Right.
He doesn't leave people the same. Why else do you need Jesus? Here's the problem. Maybe the problem is you just haven't seen yourself in that need. You haven't seen yourself that you need to come out of what you are. You just haven't seen yourself that bad. Well, I'm not as bad as Dale was. Oh, my friend, let me tell you what Jesus Christ tells you about your heart.
Yes.
Right.
It ain't because of what you've done outwardly that it has against you in the first place. What you see outwardly is because of what's going on the inside.
Amen.
That's sin nature. Oh, but we can cover that with religion real well.
Right.
Well, anyway.
Well.
How do I know that? Well, as pastor, he just told you about J-Pay and Securus. You want to see a bunch of religious people? Come to prison. I'll show you some religious stuff. They'll challenge you with things you've never heard in your entire life. I can guarantee you that. You'll look at that and go, where in the world did that come from? Okay? Where did that question come from? You know what, Greg? Sometimes I feel like blowing that off. If you're a preacher in here, sometimes you just don't feel like preaching.
That's right.
You go, what's the sense?
Right.
Why do I stand up here? Why do we... Look, let me just say this. You young preachers who think this is just fun and games. There's a glory in this. There's no glory in this.
That's right.
There's a burden
that
has to be carried. Because God has given us a responsibility. There's a responsibility. How do I preach this Bible? Every word that is preached, I'm going to have to give an accountability to how I brought it to you. That bothers me.
Amen.
That keeps me awake at night.
That's right.
Because it's such a burden and a responsibility. But you know who gave that to me? It wasn't Pastor John Asquith.
That's right.
God called me into this thing. God called me that I take this King James Bible. And let me just ask you this. Why are we trying to put the Bible back into a language God took it out of to try to replace grace? If the only punishment you had to face was the grave, that's very easy.
That's
We're condemned to hell. Why is it, Timothy, that we're condemned to hell, but Jesus Christ didn't have to go to hell to get us out of that? Well, we'll just change that word where he has to go to hell, and we'll just make that grave. That's a weak, limp-wristed God. My God's soul went to hell and paid that price for me fully. There was nothing else left to be done. He went down there and paid it all, and it wasn't in the grave. Well, you know, I got to go and get this Greek. Thank God I don't need to know Greek and Hebrew to know this Bible. Amen. God gave it to me in a perfect English. Amen. Change it back to that nonsense. You go ahead and have that. You'll answer for that. They'll answer for every time they try change that nonsense and try to make people believe nonsense. Foolishness. You leave it just the way it is. It's a perfect Bible. We don't need to add anything to it or take from it. What it says is what it says from beginning to end. Do you know that I've never believed this Bible, not once in my life, Pastor, did I start believing this Bible because of what's written about it.
Amen.
I believe this Bible because of what's written in it.
Amen.
And God surely has showed it to me. He sure has proved it to me. And man, I tell you, in the last couple of days, he showed me some things. I thank God for it. But anyway, well, pray for us as we're going to get the transition home. We're raising money for that for the ladies and that transition home. We've went and seen quite a few. And I thank God for John Mark, who's been able to be a big help, even though he's working and dealing with the sick wife and stuff. He's been a help to Liberty Behind Bars, an aspect where he's able to go and see houses for us and make sure they're stable, the foundations are good. And so far, none of them are. And it just shows me one thing, Brother Tim. That's not what God wants. It's not God's choice, okay? And so I can't rush this thing. We want God's mind on this. I already make enough mistakes in my own life. I don't need to be making a mistake with God's property.
That's right.
And that's another thing that keeps me up. But anyway, I thank God for men like him, and I thank God for men like Brother Ronnie Scolton. I know it's technical, and it's to me, it's fun. I love it. He's the VP of Operations for Liberty Behind Bars. Ain't that something? What a title he owes. But I'm going to tell you something, though. That's been a big help to me right there.
Amen.
Having those men and my son going in and preaching and Brother Stephen going in and preaching to those men and women. Because you know why? When I'm not there, nobody else is going to show up. Because nobody cares about the soul of the men and women that are in prison. It used to be. Well, how come you aren't with such and such ministry? I said, because God didn't put me there.
Amen.
If God would have told me to go there, I would have went there. But you know what? God wouldn't put me in a position like that.
No.
It's all a bunch of compromise. It's people bragging about, oh, how I can. When's the last time you heard me come in here brag about what I do about for those men and women? I don't brag about it. There's nothing to brag about. It's God's work. It's not Dale's.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'm not going to get on that. But look, let me just say this. Pray for us as we go, as we're moving forward. I see God. I know what he's wanting to do. It's just sitting back and waiting and let God do it. And in those things, besides Liberty Behind Bars ministry, which Liberty Behind Bars doesn't make me who I am. Jesus Christ does. Let me just get that right now. I don't stand on Liberty Behind Bars as a platform to make me who I am. Jesus Christ is the one making me who I am.
Amen.
But besides Liberty Behind Bars, I do have a family.
Amen.
And besides that, God has given me a responsibility to open some doors for me to go preach in some churches. And we go in these churches. There's no doctrine in there of Jesus. There's nothing. There's nothing to these churches today. But let me tell you what we do get. You know what me and my family get? Every time we go into a church and we leave, we get their devils.
Yeah.
Mm. We just came from a church in Massachusetts for 4 days, Brother Tim. For 4 days. My family suffered with the devils that jumped on them from a church. Pete, you know what I did? I just sat down and crossed my arms like a little whip. No, I stood up. Timothy, and I put my family on my back, and I carried them through it.
Amen.
I still had a responsibility of a ministry, and it'll tear the soul out of you.
That's right.
And it'll tear every part of what you think you are in this walk.
That's right.
And it'll make you see things so differently when you've been exposed to that type of stuff.
That's right. Amen.
And I thank God that I was able to be taught in the Black Creek Baptist Church. But being out there in it's what really taught me.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
I'm only 12 years in the Lord. Now, I don't say that because I think, oh, you know, that's my excuse. It's not my excuse. There is no excuse. God gave me a responsibility. But in that responsibility, as we're being attacked, as we're traveling around, I remember, brother Tim, you said something last night, or maybe it was the night before, where I prayed, God, whatever it takes, help break this religious pride that has crept into my heart. I look around this room and I see a bunch of religious people who are full of religious pride and they call it Christianity. And I asked God to break that in me. And I wondered why. Things started going downhill and it all came to a head last night. This man failed. I'm not Superman. I'm not some super preacher who just has a superpower outside of Jesus Christ helping me with anything. I don't walk on water. Bullets don't bounce off of my chest. I can't heal people. I can't save people. I'm a human being just like everybody else. And it came to a head last night. But then it dawned on me when Brother Tim said, when you pray for those things, watch out because they're coming. It's come. And God had to expose me to my own religious pride. Because we can take those things that we call Christianity and all it is a bunch of pride. Do you know why? Do you know why I sat up here the other night? He said, all those who need God to hide your pride, come on up here and sit. I came up here and sat in my religious pride because I wanted to show you that I'm not so proud. And I did that all full of pride. And most of you are doing that with your lives every single time you step into a church house.
Yep, right.
And calling it Christianity. Well, just look what God has to say about that nonsense. Jeremiah chapter 13. Now, I just got to say this. It's about 11:20. We might get out of here about 2 o'clock.
Go get them, Tiger.
You know why I say that? You just look around at the faces of the people who want to hear the word of God and you can see the religious, prideful people sitting there and you can tell the difference in their faces. That's why I say that. I'm really not going to keep anybody here until 2 o'clock unless the Holy Ghost says so.
Amen.
Amen.
But I tell you what, it's a sure way to show me who the religious people are in this room. Can't escape that, Pastor. Well, Jeremiah,
come on, Brother Dale.
I need some water. Give us some splash of water.
Come on, Brother Dale. Amen. Get come on, Brother. Preach, Amen. Brother. Amen. Amen. Come on now.
Amen. Jeremiah chapter Dale. 13. Jeremiah 13. Look at this. We'll start in verse 1 and just read about through down here, and then we'll just go on and see what the Lord does with this. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 1, it says, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle and put it upon thy loins and put it not in water. So in other words, he's saying, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to go get some underwear, put those things on and not wash them. Don't let them touch water. Why? Because God's about to expose some things about some people and what he thinks. And look at verse 2 when he goes on and it says, and so I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time saying, take that girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thine loins, and arise and go to the Euphrates and hide it there in a hole of a rock. Now here he's been wearing these things for who knows how long, and he's in the hot sun. Understand where he's at. Now God tells him to take those sandals, leave them on, and I want you to go to the Euphrates. I don't know how far of a distance that is, but I'm sure it's quite a distance. I'm sure God is working something up. He tells him to go to the Euphrates. And he goes, when you get there, look at the next verse. He says, when you get there, verse 5, and so I went. You notice he didn't cross his arms and say, oh, but why me, God? Why would you put me through that, God? Just become such pansies as Christians. Yeah. Effeminate men, I'm one of them.
Come on, brother.
I act effeminate. I get myself out of sorts, man. There's no excuse for the way I act. No excuse for the way things I do. And there's times that God tells me things. I go, God, why that? Why would you put that on me in my face? Look what we're doing. And God wants to vomit. That's what he thinks about what I'm doing.
Yep. You're right.
Well, verse 5, so I went and hit it by the Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. In verse 6, and it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise and go to the Euphrates and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. In verse 7, and then I went to the Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, you know what that word behold means? To stop and take a look.
Amen.
Stop what you're doing. I got something to show you. And God wants to get your attention about what he's about to say here. He says, behold, the girdle was marred and it was profitable for nothing. And then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Why? This evil people which refuse to hear my words. You understand? He's talking to the religious people. That girdle that was worn, a man who was sweating over there in that heat. And then he had to walk to the Euphrates. And then he buried it in the hole until God said, go get it. He pulled that out and he says, this is what your religiousness is. It's worth nothing. It's marred. That's what God thinks of your religion sitting in this church this morning, people. It's worth nothing. Why? Because of your religious pride. Looking down the nose at other people. Thinking you're really doing something. Thinking that God has just got his hand on you and your family, and you and your family alone. And you know why you do these things? Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. But look what he says in verse 10. This evil people which refuse to hear my words. How many are sitting here tonight? You know what you hear? You hear my loud voice. You think I'm foolish because of the way I preach. You're not hearing God's word. You're just thinking it's a circus.
That's right.
You think, why does he got to be so loud about everything? That's what they're thinking in their head. And they ain't heard a word that was said.
That's right.
You go, why do you preach like that? Because I get excited about the things of God. I ain't lost that yet. I know God drags me through things and he allows me to go through things, but I still haven't lost the excitement of this life.
Amen.
By the way, I don't want you to fall asleep because you know, brother, I've never seen so many people want to take a nap in church in my life.
Yep. That's right.
Brother, every church I go to, all you see is this.
You're right, preacher.
And you mean to tell me you're hearing something? Like God ain't got, oh, I'm sorry, God, it's so boring. I'm sorry that the word of God, you can't get something out of it. I'm sorry there's nothing you can get out of this thing when it's preached.
That's right.
All you're doing telling God is, I'm not hearing your word.
That's right.
It don't matter nothing to me.
That's right.
Well, which walk in the imagination of their heart. You know why? Because they're imagining that this great Christian sitting there. And they're bulletproof and nothing can touch them. You ever look around and watch real Christians suffer? Why aren't you suffering? You ever wonder why you ain't suffering spiritually like other ones are? I'm not talking about suffering for your flesh. Suffering for your flesh and suffering for Jesus are two different things. Most of you are suffering because of your own flesh, not because you live for Jesus. Because it makes you uncomfortable. Pastor, since when did we get comfortable around the word of God being preached? How can we get so comfortable when that Bible's being taught? You become comfortable around this, there's something wrong with you, not the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not comfortable when this Bible's teach. I'm not comfortable when this Bible's taught. Why? Because it stirs things up inside of me. It shows me things about myself. I've been sitting there all week long, God just tearing me up about myself. Just about the nonsense and the foolishness that's in me. Man, I go, my goodness, Lord. What else? What else?
Amen.
But let me just tell you this. If God doesn't run me through those, what help am I going to be to anybody else? You have to understand, this isn't, look at this, this whole thing that God is doing isn't just about me, it's about His, what He wants for people.
Amen.
But with me being in the way, with my pride being, with my religiousness being in the way, with all these things, it just gets in the way of God's work. People go, man, it took you 7 years to finally go get a home, because it's taken 7 years for God to get me here, and look at me, I'm still a mess.
Well,
can you admit that about yourself? Oh, maybe not. Why? Because you're spiritually discerned. You can't even understand spiritual things. You'll sit here and you hear this. Let me just tell you, young folks that grew up in church, your ticket isn't punched because you grew up in church. You need Jesus Christ just like the next person does. You don't have a free ride. You can't ride on mom and dad's coattail. I don't care if you're grandpappy, your grandpappy's pappy, uncle, grandma. I don't care how many grew up in church. That don't give you a free ride into eternity, my friend. And let me say this. Those very young people who said, well, these things can't happen to me. Do you know, Brother Tim? I can start a ministry with Baptist children right now who are in jail and prison alone.
That's right. Amen.
How many, Amy?
Amen.
Ask my wife how many pastors are calling us. How many deacons are calling us. How many regular church people are calling us because their children have went astray? You know why? Because they thought it couldn't happen to them. And this, that can't happen to my family. Okay. All right. You keep thinking that nonsense. You go, Dale, do you think it can happen to your family? No doubt.
That's right, sir.
No doubt. That's why I pray and fast for my family. God, have we done enough to help keep them from the world? Have we done enough to help them to be able to get it through in this world? Have we given them enough of this Bible at home? You see, what we become is a people who rely on the pastors to give them the Bible, and we don't bring it into our home. Why aren't you teaching this book in your home? Why aren't you sitting down with your children and teaching them the things of God, not just here, not just relying on what somebody else has to say? Well, they walk in the imaginations of their own heart and walk after other gods. What's those other gods? Well, my job. You're awfully wide awake when it comes to your job. Well, you're perked up when you need to go work and get your money.
Yeah.
You come to church, you can't keep your eyes open, you don't pay attention to nothing. You know why? That's become your God. You know why you don't need to hear nothing? Because that's become your God. Your little religious Christianity, your little religious pride has become your God in your very heart. Chelsea, it's a shame to go around and watch people. I say, okay, turn with me to so-and-so verse. And they're like, you know why they did that? Because they've heard that verse so many times, but yet it means nothing to them. Let me just tell you this. This book is repetitive.
Hey.
It hasn't changed.
Hey.
It's the same verses in it. What do you mean you're tired of hearing it? Hey, what's the problem? The problem is your heart. The problem is the gods in your heart.
Amen.
It don't change, Tim.
Hallelujah.
This book don't change, but we're sure supposed to.
Yeah.
I know the preaching of this book changes my life.
Oh, yep. Glory to God.
When I get up in the morning and give my little 15-minute devotional, my 10-minute prayer, thank you, God, I got to go off to work now. And by the way, will you answer my prayers for me? That's all I can give you. Hey, God's sick. Just do the basics and you'll be okay.
Come on, preacher.
Don't think about God any other time. Get in your car and turn on the country radio. Oh, you know, they do speak of Jesus and country. Yeah. Here's what I had a man. I don't know if anybody, now I don't know the man personally, but I know the name. I've heard it. People have talked about it. Jelly Roll is a country singer. Yep. He's a big old fat white dude, tattoos all over his face. He couldn't make it in hip hop, so he went to country. Here's what a man said. I'm not even kidding. So he does hip hop through country. But here's what a guy said. You know what he said? He goes, that man is preaching the gospel through his songs. There are Christians who believe that.
Yep.
There are people who are sitting in church who believe that nonsense is Christian. That man, you know what he calls himself? The son of Satan.
Right.
What are you listening to outside of here?
Come on.
Just be real with yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you, look at this. You know why you listen to this contemporary Christian? Because you're feeding the flesh.
Yep.
You want to appease the flesh. Because you can't handle the beautiful hymns and spiritual songs. You know why? Because it brings conviction that you don't want to face.
That's
can't handle that.
Amen.
So let's just feed the flesh. Your God. It's an attack from the devil, according to Ezekiel chapter 20. It was created. Where is he? Over God, playing music. He's got music created inside of itself. Daniel chapter 3 shows us this. How did Nebuchadnezzar get them to bow down to a false God? Music! What kind of music has God got you bowing down to? Or Satan got you bowing down to? What kind of music is he using to trick you into thinking that's real Christian music? Just because they put God in it and Jesus don't make it Christian.
That's right.
All that nonsense, foolishness. Why? Because they're serving after other gods, their own imaginations. They are making these things up in their head. It's nothing to do with God.
Amen.
Well, and he says this, and he says, they walk after their other gods to serve them and to worship them. Shall even be as this girdle, which is what? Good for nothing. You ever wonder why? Gosh, why isn't anything going on in my life? Why isn't God using me somewhere? Because you're good for nothing to him.
Yeah.
Your religious pride is good for nothing.
Come on.
Amen.
Carl, religion never changed me. You know why you're not changing in this church? Because you're stuck in your religion. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what changes, not religion. Religion wasn't powerful enough to change me. Here's what I would try to do. I would try to turn over a new leaf. But every time I turned over that new leaf, guess what happened? It turned brown and died. Jesus Christ is not turning over a new leaf. It's become a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
It's having the Spirit of God living inside of you. And he changes those things. Hey, when God who created this entire planet moves in, you mean to tell me he can't kick things out of your life?
Come on.
Thank God.
Come on.
Thank God. That's right.
Hey, Miss Ruth Ann, when God moved in, I knew it. Why? Because things are getting kicked out of my life that he didn't like. I'm not the same man I was 12 years ago. I'm not the same man I was a month ago.
Amen.
Oh, hey, let me just say this, brother. God don't save us and put it in neutral and just let us coast out of here. You got the wrong God. You got the flannel graph Jesus.
Amen.
That religious pride. Knowledge puffeth up. You have just enough knowledge of this whole Christian thing. It deceives you. It makes you think that you're something you're not. That's a reality. Well, turn with me to Hosea chapter 10. Look at this. Hosea chapter 10. Well, thank God. Don't you just want to thank God for this week? Amen. Thank God for the preaching, man. Thank God for what we've been able to hear. Thank God for seeing Jesus in the scripture. I mean, all that New Testament. I mean, thank God. I can't even read my Bible without looking now. Amen. And I'm always, man, is that Jesus, man? You know, thank God, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Well, it's wonderful, man. And you know what that does? That's building that arsenal up so we can go out there and shoot them down with it.
Amen.
Why? Because they don't want to believe that Bible. They took that King James Bible. They say they're King James Bible believers, and they're the farthest thing from it.
Yeah. Right.
Real easy test. Just tell them, oh, Jesus Christ was, his soul was made an offering for sin. Done.
That's right.
There's no helping them. They will not listen.
That's right. Right.
You know what they go and do? Well, I got to go talk to a professor friend of mine.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
How many times I've told that? Well, I know a professor friend of mine. I got to go check with him. I had a guy tell. He got there. He said, yo, you went out and worship Yahweh. I go, whoa. Yahweh. Afterwards, I said, Yahweh is, that's not the God we serve. You know, you probably made a mistake or whatever. He's a friend of mine. And I felt that I could talk to him. And when I went and talked to him, I said, what did he tell you? He goes, well, I have a friend of mine at Liberty University. He goes, I got to run that by him. Mm. Why don't you run it by the Bible? Yep. Why don't you just see what's in the Bible? Hey, why don't you just run by, just leave all the languages alone. You don't need to worry about those languages.
Amen.
I had a man tell me one time, he said, Dale, in order for you to get a better understanding for those convicts, you need to learn other languages. I said, then I'd bust hell wide open then.
Right.
I lean on that book.
Hallelujah.
There is nothing else outside of you. People say this. How did you get delivered from drugs and alcohol and all that? You know how I got delivered? Jesus Christ, a King James Bible in church.
Amen. Woo! Glory. Glory to God.
Pretty simple, right?
Amen.
But you got to add everything on top of that now, Tim. Well, you know you need Jesus and this and Jesus and that. No, you need Jesus Christ, this Bible and church, and you're all good. God, Jesus Christ will take care of that. If you'll have an open heart and an open mind, he'll deliver you from those things you can't be delivered from. You ever wonder why you can't stop thinking the way you think? You need Jesus Christ, my friend. How come I can't get off of those things? Because you need Jesus.
Amen.
There's no hope outside of that, Tim. Where are we going to go? Who has the words of eternal life? Jesus. He is eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. It's what saved me. It's brought me out of that life. The world tried for 40 years, man, with their little medications and their little programs and their little this and their little that. Couldn't touch me. Oh, 12 years ago. I ran into this man named Jesus Christ. Woo. He exposed me for what I was. And guess what? I was even sitting in church being religious. Do you know I thought I was saved for a long time? Addicted to pornography. Well, I'm not addicted to pornography. Hey, man, stop looking at those front covers of those ladies in the magazine at the stores. That's pornography.
Amen.
You know what you're punching on when your wife ain't around. Now, let's stop playing games.
Come on.
That's right. Hey.
And then you're going to go ahead and try to get in that marriage bed with your wife and commit adultery.
Come on now.
And it don't even faze you because that's not, well, it's not real pornography. It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
You're going to try to bring that woman in the bed with you, not your own wife.
Come on.
Yeah,
you're telling.
That's a reality, old religious one.
Come on.
That's what Jesus said.
Well.
Amen.
Look what it says here. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Hosea 10, chapter. Here where it says Israel, I just want you to insert your name. Dale, or Israel, is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit where? Unto himself. Here's the religious person sitting in church this morning. He's trying to bring fruit unto himself. You know why people are sitting here, Stephen? Because it appeases their prideful religiousness. Not because they want to come and hear about Jesus, because they're worried about what you'll think of them if they're not here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They're bringing fruit unto their self. Could care less of what you think of me when I come to church. I came in here pretty messed up last night. I thank God for sending me a pastor my way.
Hey.
But I tell you, by the time I left, I wasn't in the same position when I came in. Why is that? Oh, because I got myself better in my religiousness. No.
Amen.
The preaching of the word. I listened to the word of God through everything that was going on in my head and my heart.
Oh, yes.
I listened to the preaching of the word of God. I got to see Jesus Christ in the word of God. That's why. Did you come to see Jesus? You can't see him with that religious pride. It will not allow you to see him. Are you brave enough to ask God to really hide it from you? Oh, God, would you hide pride from me? But wait a minute, you know, Lord.
Yep.
I asked God, I said, Lord, I went in the room yesterday and I said, Lord, would you hide pride from me? I really need you to hide pride from me today. And I said, Lord, here's my biggest fear. I said, I'm going to walk out this door and, you know, everything's going to drop out. But, Lord, I really want you to hide that pride from me. I opened that door and everything that could blow up my pride came. And guess what? Who failed? You know what that just showed me? I was talking out of my pride.
Yep.
People, listen. Just because you're asking God for something good doesn't mean you really want it. It's just your religious pride making you
that's
do
right.
that.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
right.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, God, he'll expose it to you if you allow him. But how far are you willing to go? You know, I got this morning and I thank him for that. And it may not have to tell you, if anybody who was in that house yesterday knows how hard that was, I got to thank God because of his mercy to show me that.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And get me ready for the next time. Will I fail? Well, yeah. But you know what? The more and more that I stop trying to bring fruit unto myself.
That's right.
Why do I come to church to bring fruit unto myself? We ought to leave church differently than when we came in this place. Good, bad, or ugly. But why don't we? Because we're so stuck in that pride of religion. It stops. It stunts your growth. And if you're not saved, it will... Lost people have become prideful... And they're seeking and being lost.
Yep.
It's a new religion that I hear about.
Right.
I know my last 6 months, I tell you what, there was no religious pride left in me. God had beat the snot out of me to the point there was none of that left in me. I was not happy about being lost.
Right.
I was scared to death. If you're not scared about being lost,
that's right.
Why? Who are you trying to appease with this fruit of seeking?
Right.
Who are you trying to make happy in that seeking?
Right.
Are you trying to smooth it out for yourself? Sure. You see, he's bringing fruit unto himself. And most people that are lost, they're seeking to appease themselves. And not what God wants them to see. Well, it goes on to say, according to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. These are the things that we conceive in our heart about trying to bring fruit unto ourselves instead of unto God. And those things that he wants us to see. Those things that he wants us to bring forth to him. You know what it was? I brought everything that I could to the altar for 4 years. That drives people nuts when I tell them that I was lost underneath the preaching of a King James Bible for 4 years. You know why? Because I kept trying to come up with my own fruits.
Yeah.
I kept trying to come up with my own religiousness, Brother Tim. I was trying to bring fruit unto myself. And then finally one day, I don't even know if the man got to preach. I think I just got up out of church and walked because I was so under such heavy conviction, I couldn't stand myself. I left, got my family. I said, I'm going home. I got to go home. I didn't even know what to do with myself, Tim. I was going absolutely crazy. By the time I got home and you guys got there, by the time my knees hit the floor, I was already born again. The Holy Ghost done a perfect job.
Amen.
He knew exactly what he was doing. But you know what it took? It took for me to look somewhere that I never looked before. I said, being a rebel against the holy God, I've never seen myself in that manner. I knew that I was a lawbreaker against men. I ended up in jail or prison or wherever else. But I never seen myself as a lawbreaker against this. And I'm telling you, there are people in this room today who are in the same position and won't look at it. You know why so many of my family members are going to go to hell if Jesus Christ was to come back right now, if they were to die? Because the devil has blinded them with their goodness.
Yeah.
The devil has blinded many in this room with your religiousness.
Right.
Law-abiding, tax-paying Christian citizens. You know what the sad thing is? When I read the book of Revelation, the wonderful Lamb, Jesus Christ, you know where he's standing in the book of Revelation? He's standing on the outside of hell, and they can look and see him. The Savior. He was in arm's reach, but they can't get to him now. How about that? Is that going to be you? He's at arm length. What do you mean? Because he's in your lap if you have a King James Bible. He said, you don't have to go another day without that Lamb is right here in these pages. And he's trying to expose to you what you need. Don't go to hell. Have to look out and see him standing there. You can get to him today if you'll drop your religious pride. Drop that nonsense that he's not happy about trying to bring that religious fruit to yourself. Gosh, you go, man, we heard a lot about this whole, you know, religious stuff. And let me tell you right now, there are people in this room that I look at your faces, you've already bucked it.
Yes, sir.
I can look at your faces, I can look at your family's faces, and I can see it written all over it. You've already bucked what's being preached here.
That's right.
Isn't that sad?
Yes, sir.
Hey. What a sad state to be in. But you're comfortable there.
Yep.
My God, you know what I want you to pray? God, make you uncomfortable, and that I mean the flames of hell touch your feet.
Right.
Pray that the flames of God, or the flames of hell touch your feet. Then you'll get serious about this thing. Because what you're doing is keeping you lost. Because you become prideful in that thing.
Right, yeah.
And you can't even see it. It's become a God in your heart, and you're walking in the imagination. You go, but I'm doing the right thing. For what fruit? Pastor, I think if the flames of hell would touch a few people's feet, it'd make a whole big difference.
Yeah.
How bad do you want to get saved? Well, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Sometimes God just has to crush us. John Marks gave that testimony, and I thank God. God had to crush Dale Moore, and he still does it. I'm a rebel my whole life. I'm still a rebel against God. I don't want to be. Honestly, I don't want to be a rebel against God, but I find myself there more often than not. And it's shameful and it's hurtful. I don't want to be a rebel against God. He died for me. He's given me something that this world could not ever give me. Look at them pills and drinking and alcohol and all that. That never gave me what God gave me. You go, oh man, he gave you a house and a wife and kids. No, he gave me peace. He gave me a clean conscience. Hey, the real miracle didn't happen to the outward things. It was the inward things. That's where the miracle takes place. The outward stuff is real easy for God to take care of. And you know what? The outward stuff is real easy for you to pretend like you're a Christian with too.
Yep.
I've done it.
Yep.
As a convict, I learned how to put on many cloaks. And Christianity was another one. But you know what happened? Kyle, God had his finger on Dale Morey. There are people who are in this very room that God has his finger on you and you refuse to let him put you under it. He says to humble yourself under, not on top and not in, but under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
You got to allow him to crush you, to bring you to that place where you can't stand it anymore.
That's right.
Is it worth it? Well, Luke chapter 18. I got to get there. My goodness, I'm just blabbing. Luke chapter 18, and look what it says here. In Luke chapter 18, we'll start in verse 9. You want to know some religious, prideful people? Look at 18:9. Luke 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain which what? Trusted in themselves, and that they were righteous and despised others. But I tell you, I've never been in a room so full of people who despise others as in churches today. I can go out there and talk to a bunch of lesbians and homosexuals and be less despised than church people.
Amen.
Why? Because they trust in themselves that they're righteous. You ain't righteous. You're sick in God's eyes. He says you're a filthy rag.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there's got to be something good about me. Yeah, you're good for the trash compactor. There ain't no good in us. There ain't no good in you. I don't care what kind of family you come from. There ain't a bit of good in any of us. That's why I took Jesus. Let me just tell you this, old Christian that grew up in a Christian home. If you were so good, then why did Christ have to die for you? You know, it took the same blood, little kid, that it took the same blood for you as it does me. Then where's the good at, Stephen? But they despise others because they trust in themselves. They trust in their religious pride. They trust in the things that they do. You go, how do you know that? Well, let's read the next few verses here in verse 10. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. And one, a Pharisee, that's a religious person sitting in church, thinking they have it all down. They got it all right. They dress right. They do everything right. But I'm going to tell you right now, they'll bust hell wide open. All that religious nonsense. But look what he says here. And he says, the other, a publican. And the Pharisees stood. Most of you are standing in your heart right now. You ain't got to stand up physically to stand up. Most of you already checked out of church. You go, but I'm sitting in church. But you left spiritually a long time ago. I had a man tell me that one time, Stephen. He said, to leave church, you don't physically have to leave church. You can spiritually walk out of church.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can sit here a dead person in the pews for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Well, I go to church and I do this and I do that. And what's it doing for you? Well, and the Pharisee stood and said, he prayed thus with himself. Who did he pray with? Himself. He didn't have the audacity to pray in God's name. He's praying to himself. He's talking about the things that he does. It's all about him. And I'm going to tell you, that's a self-righteous, religious person sitting in church. It's all about them and nothing about Christ. It's nothing about their neighbor. It's nothing about the poor. It's nothing about the needy. You be honest with yourself and raise your hand in your heart because I don't want to embarrass you. When's the last time you thought about somebody else's soul? When?
Come on.
When? It just becomes a light thing. We want to know all this about Christ, and it's wonderful. But what are we going to do with it if we don't even care about other people's soul?
That's right.
Why don't they care about other people's souls, Stephen? They're worried about themselves. You know what they are worried about? Pastor Black, how you spend that money? Where's that tithe money going?
Yeah.
How's this building going to go?
Right.
How's that? That's what they're worried about.
That's right. They are. Yep. Big worry.
You can take all that. What if the Black Creek Baptist Church, for those of us who go there, what if? Let's just say what if, because it's not out of God's hands. What if he took all that from us? And all we had left was God.
Yeah. Amen.
You want to see a church empty out?
Yes, sir.
Nobody'd stay. You go, how do you know that? Because I watched church after church after church after church after church after church closing.
That's right.
If we have it so good, if we have it so right, then why are so many churches closing? Why? You know why? Another reason? They're sending these young, prideful, religious people from college out there to try to run a church. They can't even run their own life.
No.
They're so addicted to pornography and drugs and everything else. How can they run a church? But guess who's taught on that, older men? You older men, I'm going to talk from the older men. I'm going to talk from the 60s down. It's our responsibility to teach these younger men. Guess what we're not doing? You know, I thank God for yesterday, Carl. I said, I thank God for him saving the young men that he's been saving.
Oh, amen.
And then marrying them and letting them move into the area of Black Creek. You know why? That gives hope to my grandchildren, if God so be it, that my children have children. Why? Because they have a church to go to.
Amen.
That teaches the truth.
Amen.
That ain't everywhere. Since when have we stopped caring about other people's souls? They don't even have a church to go to. They cry and they go, Dale, where are we supposed to go?
That's right.
The pastor's leaving and I don't know what to do. Right. Time and time again, men are leaving to bigger churches and better opportunities. And leaving the people that have been there for years. Maybe there's four or five of them left, but they won't stay, Tim. Most of you in this church, if you were a pastor and that was to happen, you'd be gone too. Why? Because it's only your religious pride that you do what you do. Well, let's look at verse 12. He says, or verse 11. He prayed to himself. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Let me just say, I have never in my life seen churches where the people focus on themselves all the time. Jesus Christ says, if you're going to follow him, you must deny yourself.
Amen.
Gets pretty... Why don't you ask Brother Tim how uncomfortable it is to be out there for 6-7 weeks with a family on the road? You ever consider that? You ever consider the spiritual battle that he's facing? Let me ask you, Black Crickians, when's the last time you fasted for the man? They love you so much, Brother Tim, that they fasted for you because they want to help you in your spiritual battle. You want to come here and preach, but yet you won't give the man the time of day to fast for him for the things that he goes through.
Ask my church, brother. Ask my church.
It's last time anybody for our pastor. How about Pastor Black? Pastor Black's church, you fast for your pastor? It doesn't mean fasting is going to pull miracles, but you know what it shows God? That you're serious. That you want to help the man of God in prayer.
That's right.
Bathing him in prayer. There's a battle going on. Just in case you haven't heard, Brother Tim and Brother John, of the battle that's going on out there is raging. People are turning their backs on Jesus Christ. They're starting to cut off ties with us. Why? Because we stand on the Bible. Does that matter to anybody? The seriousness of that battle? Does it keep you up at night? I know a few men it keeps up at night. Why? Because they're worried about the spiritual things that are going on. If you're a religious person, spiritual things will not bother you. It won't even cross your mind. God help us. I got a few more things. Go to Joel. Go to Joel. After Hosea is Joel. Joel chapter 2. See what the Bible says here. We'll be closing up here soon. Joel chapter 2. And we'll go to verses 12 and 13. And look what it says in Joel 2, chapter 13 and 4. Excuse me. Joel 2, 12 and 13. It says, therefore, Joel 2, 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with some of your heart. You see, We want to turn to God with whatever willingness in our heart that we're willing to turn to Him, not with all of our heart. We draw a line to God. We tell Him, this is how far we'll go. You know why some of you lost people are still lost in here? Because you're telling God how far He's allowed to go in your life. He's saying, draw unto Him with all of your heart. That means everything. That means holding nothing back. That means unlocking every room that needs to be unlocked. Look at when I was struggling for salvation, there were things, I look back at it now, there were things I would not let God in, but yet I was saying I was being diligent. I wouldn't let Him go in that room. I wouldn't let Him touch those things. But boy, Pastor, why won't He save me? I'm being diligent, but yet there were things in my life I would not let Him expose. Why? I wasn't seeking with all my heart. I was trying to appease myself, you see. I was trying to bring fruit unto myself in this seeking. I was trying to be religious. I wanted to be something that was religious. I wanted people to look at me and go, man, he's religious. Well, he says, turn even unto me with all your heart. With what? Oh, there's that word fasting. I know that's a cuss word in Baptist churches. It has become a cuss word in Baptist churches about fasting for one another, fasting for things in our lives. It's important that we do that. Look, it's not an answer to everything, but it just shows God how willing and how serious you are about whatever matter it is in your life. There are things that come up in my life, Carl, that I know that there's no way spiritually I can handle. You know what Jesus Christ instructs us to do when you face these things? Prayer and fasting. He didn't say just for me to pray. He gave me a commandment to fast. In these times, in these spiritual battles that you know that men are going through, that are behind pulpits, traveling around, preaching, ministry, or whatever it is, you ought to be fasting for that spiritual battle for them and what's coming upon you and your family. Did anybody hear in here last night or the night before about what Pastor John said? These young 17, 16-year-old men in uniform? How are you going to send your child off? When they come and dress them in a uniform and send them over there, how are you going to send them off? Did you do enough? Did you put enough in their life? And I'm not talking about your shallow religious nonsense. Over and over again, Brother Tim, I hear of everybody doing the same thing. I go, oh man, they do the same thing in Pennsylvania. Oh wow, they do the same thing in Ohio. Wow, they do the same thing here. What is that? Don't you have your own walk with Jesus or no?
Amen.
My gosh, there are some things we can take. But God has built my family, Charity. God is building the Morey family. And guess what? It doesn't reflect what anybody else is. That we may have some common things. But I tell you what, it's not a cookie cutter thing that I'm in.
That's right. Amen.
God builds our families the way He sees fit. There are protections that He puts in each and every one of our lives because He knows us. The Asquiths have different protections in their life than I would. We have some similarities, some things that we would agree on. They're common things. But then there are certain things that God has put in the Asquith life that He did not put in the Morey life.
Amen.
It's not cookie cutter.
Right.
Look, you know how you know you got a cookie cutter religion? Because you look like everybody else in every church in every state.
Amen.
I don't fit in that mold. I think I'm not saying that prideful. I'm just saying I don't want that.
Right. Amen.
If I got to be bound to that, then what freedom do I really have in Christ?
That's right.
God gave us a liberty to live according to this Bible and our families that we would stand on this and live these things. And boy, I tell you, I didn't go back to prison when I got saved. I didn't get into a prison religion. I got a freedom. More freedom than I ever had in my entire life on every single aspect of my life. Things that I never thought I could ever be free from.
Right.
I stand a free man tonight in Jesus Christ. Why? Because He said He'd make you free. He'd give you something you never had. And let me tell you something, it's wonderful to have it. It ain't always perfect, but sure is wonderful. Look at verse 13. And he says, rend your heart. That means tear that thing and not your garments. He doesn't want you to put off the outward things. He's worried about your inward.
Amen. That's right.
God could care less about what you look like on the outside.
Right.
He's trying to deal with you on the inside. And then there's a reflection that goes on the outside.
That's right.
But you know what everybody's doing today? They're changing the outside, hoping the inward follows, and it don't.
No.
Right.
Ain't gonna work that way. Oh, well, I tried it. He says, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repent of him of the evil. What a mercy. Do you know the whole reason why God gave us a Bible charity is so he can show you how much he loves you and that he doesn't want you unsaved? That he wants you saved, and he shows you that right here.
Right. Amen.
You know what else he shows that, Carl? Brother Tim was preaching. Man, he was preaching. I can't remember, but he just said, and it touched my heart when he said, when Jesus Christ so went to hell, he had Dale Morey's sin with him. That lit me up. I mean, for days I was on top of the world with that thinking, my God, he went to hell with my sins.
Yeah.
Tim, do you know how personal that is?
Yes, that's right.
Do you know every single one of us that's sitting in this room, that's a personal thing that he does for you?
Yes, it does.
Amen.
Who would he withhold that from? No one. He's done it for all. Look, you need to rejoice over that. Because there's a battle out there. People are going to tell you you're wrong. Why? Because they think Greek and Hebrew is better than the King James Bible that God gave us in English.
Yeah.
Their knowledge. You can take that. Well, I'm going to. Well, keep it clean. I can tell you what to do with that knowledge.
Amen.
Because that ain't knowledge from any Bible college or anything else that gave me what I have in this book. It's about believing this book. For every jot and tittle. For exactly how it says it. Carl, God didn't say, Carl, you need to know Hebrew to learn your Old Testament. He didn't tell you that. He said, I want you to learn the King James English.
That's right.
What are people doing today, Miss Debbie? Trying to put it back in those languages that God took it out of.
Amen.
Does that even make sense to anybody in this room tonight? Today? That's religious pride. Thinking they know better than God. Well, I want to show you something, and I'm going to close with this. I want to show you something that I shared with Brother Tim. I seen Jesus Christ this morning in my reading. How about you?
Okay.
Wait, hang on. Let me ask you, did you even read or pray? Did you even prepare your hearts for come in here today? You're going to come into the house of God. You're going to come into church and not even prepare your heart to hear the word of God and wonder why you can't get saved. Christian, because you're so good and holy and almighty, you don't need to prepare your heart to come to church anymore. You can just come in here in the flesh and be okay. Wrong answer. This is a holy Bible, not a self-help book. It's a God help me book. It's holy. Holy. This book is just as holy as Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Holy, holy, holy. And you want to come in and handle it like it's nothing. You don't even want to prepare your heart to hear all the things that you might have went through this morning. Young men, would you look at? Older men, would you look at? How'd you treat your wife?
Mom.
That matters. But we care about the Bible. We care about church things. Well, let me show you Jesus Christ and something. First Kings. First Kings. And it was a blessing to me. I wrote Brother Tim. I said, what do you think? Am I pushing this too far, Brother Tim, with this? And I just couldn't. It just wouldn't leave me alone. It just kept... I kept looking. I go, man, that's Jesus, man. That's Jesus there. You know, and here it's a prophet speaking. I said, man, is this just pushing it a little too far? He said, no, brother. He said, that's not pushing it too far. He goes, man, He said, man won't let you push it too far, but God will let you bring it as far as he'll allow you to bring it.
Amen.
Are you willing to see that?
Amen.
I don't know if you guys are learning anything this week, but I sure am. I thank God for it. But I thank God that, brother, I sympathize for what you have to go through, but thank God you're willing to go through it so we can have what we get.
Amen.
You realize you get from the men that are preaching because of the things they're willing to go through? Let's not forget about his wife and children.
That's right.
If you think it's any easier for them, go ahead and have a talk with Miss Rebecca. But how many of you ladies even lift her up in prayer anymore? I'm not talking about just your once a week type of thing. When you know they're going to a meeting and you know they're going to be traveling with those children, how many of you are lifting them up in prayer?
Come on.
Because that's how much we care. We tell them how much we love them to their face and then, you know what, we do nothing about it. Set time apart. I learned a valuable lesson from Pastor Roger Haney. I'm going to blow you up a little bit now since everybody else did.
Amen.
On my phone, I have different, what they call sticky notes. And on those sticky notes, I have every day labeled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because I have so many people that ask for prayer. When somebody asks me for prayer, I legitimately write it down and I pray for them.
Amen.
Until God will have me remove their name, and not, I don't think I've had one person come off of there yet. And I am not saying this in pride, and I'm not saying this to brag, but I'm maybe going to help you with something. On Saturdays, I set a time apart in my prayer for every man of God that I know and his family.
Amen.
And I pray. And when God stops me and arrests me on their name, I stay there until God tells me to move on.
Thank you.
Why? They need it.
Amen.
They're in a spiritual battle. And their families are in that battle with him. Tim's not by himself. Well, that should help you.
It does.
That should help change your prayer life. I think it was Brother Mike Church. We all know Brother Mike Church. What a wonderful man. He said this. He goes, try praying. He says, if you're having problems praying, he goes, if you think you're really praying, you got a good prayer life, he goes, try praying for one person for 1 minute. That'll tell you how good your prayer life is. And I tried it, and I was like, oh, man, wow. Woo! I got to change that up. He was just trying to show us, because we think that we pray and we're prayer warriors, and, you know, we're all this and that, but we can't even pray for one person for 1 minute.
Yeah.
1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. I'm going to show you Jesus Christ here, Lord willing, and then we'll be done. It's the prophet of God speaking here in 1 Kings chapter 20, and we'll go to verse 42. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, this is the prophet speaking, he says, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed unto utter destruction. Now I want you to put right there the sinner. The sinner has been appointed to utter destruction. And he's going to prophesy of how that utter destruction can be handled. And he says this, and he goes on and he says, therefore thy life shall go for his life. That is Jesus Christ dying for the sinner.
Amen.
That is Jesus Christ. We all are appointed to die because of our sins. Both a spiritual and a physical death, we will die. Well, how is that taken care of? Jesus Christ steps in and takes care of that for us.
Amen.
Charity, why would Jesus Christ go to hell and not save you?
Yeah.
Why would he choose to go to hell for any one of us and not save us? That's my question here. And over again through the Old Testament, and I've never been taught either to look for Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as a person who grew up in jails and stuff. They don't teach us that kind of stuff. But well, I tell you what, you start looking for Jesus Christ, you'll find him everywhere in this book.
Amen.
And you know what it shows us? It shows us what he's done for us.
Yeah.
Amen. The price that he paid for us. Do you realize that everything this week that he showed us in the book of Psalms has showed you each step that Jesus Christ has taken to save your soul?
Amen.
Or have any of you not realized that? He's showing us the holiness of what Christ has done to save you. When I sat here Monday night, I said, my God, whew, It was so heavy in here, I couldn't even move. I was stuck. Why the Holy Ghost showed up in the man, I said, he's moving in these pews. But you know what? It's not stirring the religious. It's not stirring the ones with the prideful heart. Today I watched the faces. You know what it's not doing, Jay? It's not stirring the religious. It's not stirring those who are prideful in their religion. You know who it's touching? Those Christians, those who really want this thing. Those who are really seeking Jesus Christ in these pages. Those who are lost, who may be really seeking for this Jesus Christ to come in and help change their life. Pastor, I'm done.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dale. Mind you again about the love offering container back there. I've known quite a few of those typical Bible